This is the Unconquered Podcast. Unbiased, unrivaled, and unconquered coverage and analysis of Florida State football.
In Florida State, we won national championships and ACC championships.
Back to some basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys get more banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success so you know something, I can really do this.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Unconquered Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Staples, football analyst at NoleDigest.com, your source for the best Florida State football analysis on the web. You can also find us on Twitter at NoleDigest. All right, today on the show, we're going to talk a little bit about what to expect from the offense in the first game against Pitt. In particular, a little bit of what to expect from new quarterback Jameis Winston. We're going to talk about some concerns about Pitt's defense and the problems that they're going to present for the Florida State offense that, you know, obviously wants to break its young quarterback in as smoothly as possible. We're also going to have a long interview with PantherDigest.com publisher Tony Greco, who will fill us in on all sorts of on just a wealth of data about the Pittsburgh team and what you can expect come Monday night. All right, on to segment one. As far as what to expect from the Florida State offense in the first game, we talked a little bit in the last podcast about how we're going to really see a more aggressive offensive approach this year behind a more veteran offensive line with a quarterback that throws the football down the field a little bit more readily, somebody who's a little bit more confident in throwing some of those downfield routes. We'll see some four verticals. We're going to see, you know, some attacking off of play action down the field a little bit more in this game. The problem, though, is that, you know, you really want first with a young quarterback to be able to establish a running game, to really be able to pound the football. And quite frankly, this game, this first game, might be the only game all year up until the Florida game, where Florida State has some trouble doing that. Pitt probably has the best defensive front aside from Florida State in the conference. They've got some size. They've got some experience up front. And they're going to be able to match up, unlike most other teams in the ACC, they're going to be able to match up size-wise with what Florida State has. They've got some real size, as we're going to hear from Pitt publisher Tony Greco in the next segment. They've got a lot of size, and they're going to present, you know, the similar problems to what they did with Notre Dame last year. And Notre Dame ran the football pretty well against everybody last year outside of the national title game, of course. But you know, Notre Dame had some trouble moving the football against this Pitt defense last year, and nearly everybody returns. You know, they've got a couple good defensive tackles. They've got some athleticism and size at the ends. They've got some big linebackers. So they're going to be able to at least feel like early on that they're going to be able to come up and challenge the Florida State offensive line straight off the bat. And that's going to be a real question mark in terms of how this game's going to go. Because if we see early on Florida State's able to pound the football and run the football more or less at will in early drives, in the early part of the game here, then you can basically, as far as I'm concerned, if Florida State stays healthy, then you can basically expect an even better year than what anybody would anticipate. Because if Florida State's able to run at will against Pitt, then they're probably going to be able to run at will against anybody on their schedule outside of maybe Florida. So that's going to be something to really keep an eye on in this game is how successfully Florida State can run the football. And what that does is that allows you then to set up that downfield passing game that Florida State wants to establish this year with Winston. What I do expect is as far as how the offense is going to work, the way I expect them to make use of what Winston's able to do in this particular situation is I expect them to do a lot of what they did with Christian Ponder when he was a first-year starter in terms of how they use the running game a little bit. And that's not so much necessarily option calls, so to speak. There will be some zone read. I'm 100% sure of that coming into this game, that we're going to see a little bit of that at least early. But we're not going to see them try to run him a ton on a lot of called run plays. There will be a few just to keep Pittsburgh loose, and that's the biggest thing, is to make sure that Pittsburgh has to play honest up front so that they're not able to just key in on James Wilder Jr. and Freeman and Green, and unfortunately now for Florida State you see Devontae, or you're seeing speed back Mario Pender is now out for the season. He's been ruled ineligible, which is really a huge loss because of what he brings as a game breaker. At any rate, there, you know, if you're Florida State, what you want to do early is just flash Winston's legs enough to make sure that they have to keep honest against him in the running game. But what I do really expect is that Winston's going to have more or less the go ahead to pull the ball and run as an early option. You know, he's going to be encouraged to, you know, take a look, assess the coverage. If you see man coverage and you've got guys backs to you, then take off and run. You know, you're going to see a little bit more of that, I think, from Winston this year than what you did from E.J. Manuel last year, especially early in the year, because, again, that's a way of minimizing how often you're going to see teams blitz him. There, you know, we've already talked about how in prior episodes and in prior articles over at Noll Digest, we've talked about how Winston has had some difficulty. He showed it in the spring game, and there's been some continued difficulty this during the fall camp, recognizing the blitz, putting the ball in the right location. That's improved somewhat, but one way to make that a moot point is to basically give him a pass to just take off and run. If he sees man coverage, if he sees certain looks, just go. Because what that does is that makes a defense much less likely to want to bring that kind of pressure, because, you know, then you're getting gashed by a guy who can really move. So, you know, that's what I expect to see as a kind of counter. But again, the big thing to keep an eye on early in the game is whether or not, you know, Florida State's able to establish a physical presence in the running game, because they really want to bludgeon a team like Pitt going into this year. That's the way that they want to, that they're going to want to establish things and protect the young quarterback so that he's able to throw aggressively down the field. Another thing I think Florida State fans might be underestimating coming into this game is the offensive acumen of Pitt head coach Paul Christ, who, as far as I'm concerned, is one of the best offensive coaches in college football. If you look at what he did up at Wisconsin, they put up just some absurd, just silly numbers when he was at Wisconsin. And, you know, you can say, well, yeah, they don't have Russell Wilson at Pitt this year. Yeah, they didn't have Russell Wilson for several of Christ's years at Wisconsin, and they still put up just insane numbers. You know, obviously Brett Bielema gets a lot of credit for that. But if you look at what happened when Paul Christ left to go to Pitt, Wisconsin's offense was not nearly what they were when Christ was there. And that, to me, tells me something. You know, it's very similar to what happened to Florida State when Mark Richt left to go to Georgia, and he was replaced. That shift, that transition, tells you exactly how important that particular assistant has been to the way that things ran on offense. And as far as I'm concerned, that showed that Christ, if you look at the transition, that transition from Christ to the next guy at Wisconsin, there's a huge difference. And then if you look at Pitt from the year prior to when Christ got there to last year, as they continued to get better over the course of the year there, you saw them just improve on offense, and you saw his philosophy coming out. They were able to run the football on a very good Notre Dame team. And what they've done now is they've actually taken the two tackles from last year and moved them inside. Very important piece to have the ability to have guys that can really be physical inside and block defensive tackles. What Chris will do is he's gonna do a lot of inside zone. He's gonna run some power stuff. He really wants those inside guys to be maulers. And actually, in a lot of ways, that's very similar to how Florida State coach Rick Trickett wants it. He wants to have some horses inside to be able to really put pressure on you and to be able to single block defensive tackles and so on. And they didn't even have that last year to the extent that they're going to have it this year with those better athletes, those bigger guys inside at the guards. And basically what's going to happen is you're going to get strength on strength here as far as Florida State and Pitt is going to go. And Pitt is going to try to run that inside zone. They're going to try to run some power stuff. They're going to try to, you know, put two tights on the field. You know, a tight end and an H-back, and they're gonna run more traditional sets than what Florida State's used to, and Florida State's just basically gonna come out in some really, really large sets. I mean, that's what you saw in the starting lineup that was released. We had, you know, a piece at Noll Digest on exactly how that starting lineup makes sense. It's basically a 5-2 alignment, but that's not Florida State's base this year. But that was essentially the best 11 coming out of camp, and they found a way to make sure that those guys were lined up in position. positions that that made sense to be able to put them all on the field together. And that's one package that we'll see. That's one starting package, and you know those guys are the guys that they felt were the best 11. But either way, you know what you're seeing from Florida State is the biggest front seven in that lineup that we've seen in some years in college football. And what they'll try to do is just stop the run with the front seven, so that they can do all sorts of stuff in the back seven without taking a whole lot of risk. And you know, when you've got that kind of size, you've got that luxury. But again, Florida State was not nearly as good at the defensive tackle positions last year as their rep. They were able to, you know, some teams were able to run the football with some success out of two back and more traditional alignments last year. It's just they didn't have much of a chance to do that last year because Florida State was up on people, almost the entire year. But by the time you got to the Florida game, Florida really exposed that with their jumbo packages and so on, that they were able to run the football against Florida State's front. And Pitt has a very good, they've got a very big and very physical offensive line in the running game. And the question is whether or not Florida State is really going to be able to dominate them the way that, you know, they will dominate most teams over the course of the year up front. If you see Florida State dominate this Pitt team up front, then as far as I'm concerned, Florida State fans need to start revising their expectations for the year for even better than what they might have expected. Because this is a good Pitt team in the trenches on both sides. And basically, that's something that Florida State fans need to pay a lot of attention to. That's where the attention should be. Everybody's going to be watching Winston. I'm really interested to see how Florida State and Pitt are going to match up in the trenches, because if Florida State blows out Pitt in the trenches, Pitt was basically Notre Dame's equal in the trenches last year. And they're better in the trenches this year than they were last year. And if Florida State is able to just dominate Pitt in the trenches, then, you know, there's very few teams in the country that will be able to hang with Florida State on the line of scrimmage. And you know, that bodes well for the rest of the year. So that's where I'm really interested in this game. All right, now on to the second segment of the show, where we're going to be joined by PantherDigest.com publisher Tony Greco, who will fill us in on what Seminole fans can expect from Pitt on Labor Day night. Okay, now joining us on the program is PantherDigest.com publisher Tony Greco. Thanks for coming and joining us today, Tony.
Yeah, good to be here. Good to be previewing Florida State. That's kind of exciting for me.
Yeah, and welcome to the ACC, I should say.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks. Definitely good to be here.
Yeah, good to have the entire state of Pittsburgh, or the entire state of Pennsylvania here, and the Pittsburgh area joining the conference.
You can call it the state of Pittsburgh. That's good enough.
Yeah, exactly. So I actually think a lot of people are, especially Florida State fans right now, you know, Florida State fans are expecting big things from this year, a lot of especially following a 12-2 campaign last year. But I think a lot of people are sleeping on Pitt coming into the ACC, especially thinking about them coming out of the Big East and, you know, expecting a step up in competition and so on, and people kind of having low expectations as a result. But you know, you got to think that the program actually that the Pitt program, especially having watched how you guys competed with Notre Dame last year, where, you know, on both lines you were very competitive with a very good football team last year in South Bend, and you know, when you look at the history over the past few years, you guys had what, five coaches coach in 15 games when
I
gotta Chris
think
was
here. So let's see, we've got Dave Wannstedt, Michael Haywood was hired. Phil Bennett was the interim head coach for the bowl game. Todd Graham was hired. Then his assistant, Keith Patterson, was the interim coach for the following bowl game. And then, yeah, Paul, so six, yes.
So six if you count Haywood.
A little over a year, yeah.
Yeah, that's insane turnover. And you got to think that regardless of who you've got on the roster, that's just not going to be conducive to great results. So
yeah, and you almost lose. I'd look at it in hindsight now, and I look at 2012 as kind of being a lost year. Because even in Dave's last year here, you know, he was building a pretty big recruiting class. Most of those guys, except for about one who I'll actually talk about here once we go by the position, wiped out his whole class. You know, Michael Haywood didn't really get any recruit. He wasn't even here long enough to have a visit weekend or anything. And then Todd Graham comes in. So it was such a whirlwind for that class. Now, a lot of those guys that Todd Graham brought in, are not with the program anymore for one way or the other. Either they didn't qualify, weren't going to qualify, or they left, you know, after he left, whether that be right after he left or after, you know, a year, they realized they didn't fit, realize that they fit Chris' system. So I think what we're seeing now with Pitt heading into 2013 is some stability that this program hasn't seen in about 3 years, because the last 2.5 years have been coaching changes and different types of recruits coming in, different types of players for different systems. And I think that's one good thing about this season, is that they can finally get back to football again, and regardless of what the record may be.
Yeah, you got to think that just being in the same system, you know, for 2 years in a row, I mean, they've got the players have to feel like, you know, it's been Christmas for a little bit. So, and actually, when the Wisconsin job opened up, Pitt fans and administration and everybody had to have been, their hearts had to have been in their throats, given the history.
It felt like a typical December. You know, it's December, so there must be a coaching search. So that was my instant reaction, because I remember a day or so before that I thought, wow, this is crazy. Like, what am I going to do this year not conducting a coaching search? And then when Arkansas hired Bielema, I knew right away that it was a possibility. But, you know, Paul Chris, you know, he said he's staying here and, you know, met with the players and everything. And thankfully that wasn't the case.
Yeah, so let's get to talking a little bit about what actually to expect this year going in. I know that you guys have a new quarterback, Tom Savage, a transfer in, who's going to be replacing the departed and sometimes maligned Tino Sunseri. So can you tell us a little bit of what to expect? I know he's a big guy, but what to expect from Savage based on what's been going on in the fall and what you saw in the spring?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with Tom coming in is that we got to see where the rust factor is with him. It's a guy that was very highly recruited coming out of high school. If I'm not mistaken, I think he had a Florida State offer. I could be wrong on that. But, you know, he committed to Rutgers. He started as a true freshman at Rutgers in 2009, was a freshman All-American, put up some decent numbers, and then lost his job about halfway through his sophomore year. Kind of went through a sophomore slump, and after he lost his job, he transferred to Arizona, which was a good move at the time because they were in a similar type of pro style offense there. And then they had a coaching change. So he transferred back. So just like the coaching change, his stability with the program is very, representative of Pitt's stability with one head coach. But the biggest thing that he brings is he's got a very strong arm. He's very accurate. They'll be able to go with the deep ball a little bit more than they did with Tino Sunseri, which is, I wouldn't say the main thing that Paul Chris likes to do with his quarterbacks or in his offense, but it's one thing he wasn't able to do last year. So that's something we'll see differently. But the biggest reason that Tom Savage came here is he saw what Paul Chris did in 1 year with Russell Wilson. And, you know, Savage and Wilson are completely different players. You know, Wilson's a guy, you can move him around the pocket a little bit. He can scramble, he can run. Savage won't do that. He is your more traditional dropback style player. But I think the biggest thing for Pitt is they've got a deep ball threat now. How much they'll go to it, again, that's going to depend on the rust factor, how well conditioned he is to really do that week after week. So that's kind of the thing we're looking to see with him. But really, what's most interesting about this and what could benefit Pitt for the future in recruiting quarterbacks is what kind of impact Paul Chris is going to have on Tom Savage. We saw what he did with Russell Wilson, who's now starting for the Seattle Seahawks. I don't think anybody would have predicted that one. If Savage goes and has a pretty good year and ends up getting drafted, well, guess what? Then every quarterback in the country is going to be taking a look at Paul Chris and wanting to come to Pittsburgh for that reason. So very big for Pitt in that sense, aside from wins and losses, for what Savage does this year.
Yeah, and actually, come to think of it, there's a quarterback that Florida State fans are obviously interested in right up the road from Pitt that is currently committed to Florida State, and J.J. Cosentino. So, you know, that's it'll be interesting to see. You know, I'm sure he'll be at that game. So
he will be. Actually, for the record, his family is all Pitt fans, and I saw him over the summer, and he said he will be sporting his Florida State gear in front of all his family members that will be wearing Pitt gear. His family, they're all Pitt season ticket holders, and he'll be right in the middle of them with his Florida State sweatshirt on. So that's something you're going to want to look for if you're a Seminole fan.
Yeah, that's that definitely suggests that the commit is solid. Yeah. So. Yeah. So, and actually thinking about Chris's system, it does make sense that you'd want a guy who could throw downfield like that, because, you know, he does want to emphasize that running game initially, and then really hit you hard on play action. And so really Savage, it sounds like, is going to fit well with that sort of downfield play action threat that Crist really used a lot at Wisconsin, even before Russell Wilson. You know, he made some fairly average quarterbacks at Wisconsin look pretty good in that play action passing game, you know, once the run was established. So that's something interesting for us, I guess, to watch, for Florida State people to watch moving forward, is to think about, you know, is to look at that play action threat. Question is, who does Pitt have in terms of on the other side of that, that can provide that kind of downfield passing, pass receiving threat that can be on the other end for Savage? Because, of course, that's very important.
Right. And the biggest one is Devin Street. You know, Devin's he's a fifth-year senior. He was a All Big East player a year ago. Where he stacks up against other ACC receivers will be pretty interesting to see. It's a good chance for him to really take off. But yeah, it's interesting. They're going to be retiring Larry Fitzgerald's number on Monday night for that game. So Larry will be back. And it's interesting because, you know, he's there. Larry Fitzgerald's got his name pretty well etched in the record books. John Baldwin, another first-round pick, does. Devin Street, if he has a season where even he's half as productive as he was last year, he will own virtually every school record there is. And the really neat thing about Devin is that this is his first year. You talk about coaching changes. He's gotten a little better every year, and he himself has had to adjust to a different position coach and a different head coach every year he's been here, which is crazy to think that he's been able to be as productive as he has. Now he's got the same position coach, the same head coach. I really think he has a chance to take off. A lot of that's going to factor on what's around him. But the one thing that Devin's never had is a quarterback that can really go downfield. So I think Devin will be able to help Tom out, and I think, you know, vice versa, Devin has a chance to be more productive as well.
Yeah, and he's a bigger receiver, so, you know, he should.
He's about 6'4", 200. I guess you'd call him a bigger receiver. I wouldn't consider him like a bigger, like Jonathan Baldwin type player is what we're kind of used to, but. Yeah, bigger, I guess, from the traditional speed guys, I guess, you're used to kind of seeing down there.
Yeah, he can definitely throw it up to him. He's not going to be out-jumped for a whole lot of balls.
Yeah.
Yeah, so on the other side of that, and on the other side of the offense then, what about at tailback? Obviously, Russell Shell's departure was, I'm sure, very disappointing for a lot of people around the program, given how he had looked last year. What's the plan going forward in terms of you know, who's going to take that role in game one?
Right. You know, that was one of the things we were looking for in training camp. One of the question marks we had. And I don't think it really, if anything, we didn't get it answered. We got more questions with it. Isaac Bennett's the guy they wanted to kind of take over. Isaac's got a lot of game experience. But I think what I learned in this camp is the one concern they do have about him is not about his attitude. This is a kid that's the nicest kid on earth, always the first guy on the field, you know, works really hard. Question is durability. And he showed that at times in his career and in this training game. He missed practically all of training camp. So as a result, Malcolm Crockett's the next guy in line. He's got limited experience. He, too, has durability problems. So they're actually going to be relying on two true freshmen, James Conner. And what's interesting is both of the two freshmen they're looking at were not initially recruited to be running backs, if you can imagine that. James Conner was going to be a defensive end until December of his senior year after he rushed for about 2,000 yards. He's a big body. He's kind of more the Monty Ball type of running back. Now, I don't think that he's going to be Monty Ball right off the bat. And if there's one position you can kind of get by with a true freshman, it's running back. But that's going to be interesting to see how a true freshman like him responds against a team like Florida State. The other guy is a guy they didn't even offer until last October. His name's Rashid Ibrahim, and he's from the Maryland, D.C. area. He set a school record for rushing yards in high school. Very productive, but again, he was going to come here as a safety, and when he got here in June for conditioning, they decided to move him to running back. So they both had good training camps. You know, everybody always looks good in training camps, but especially as true freshmen, when you go into the lights, Monday night, Heinz Field, Florida State, that's a whole new challenge, and I'm not going to say that they're not up to it, but that's something where experience or lack of experience, I guess, kind of hurts you and becomes a bigger challenge in that sense.
Yeah, and so when we're thinking about, you know, the running game, thinking about the passing game, we've talked about all the sexy positions. Now, let's get into looking at the lines and look at both sides of the ball here. That was one of the things that really stuck out to me last year, and it was a hallmark of the Wisconsin teams where Chris was before. It was strong both offensive and defensive line play, and they really showed that against Notre Dame last year. They showed that in spurts, in spots last year, where they really looked good on both lines, and then there were times where I'm not exactly sure what was going on. But what's the health of the what's the health report of the Pittsburgh offensive line and defensive line going into the first game?
I actually believe on both sides of the ball, maybe the strength of, for example, the offensive line, I think, has a chance to be the strength of the offense. Defensive line, I definitely think is, even though they've got some experience at linebacker in the secondary. The offensive line this year, I'm more encouraged about the offensive line this year than I have been with this team in about 4 or 5 years, not just for this season, but going forward. Now, they're going to be tested right off the bat, and I think that's going to tell us a little bit more. I think this is a group that's going to take some lumps along the way, but once they get a few games in, because for the most part, this unit has been together since spring. So even though you have 5 new starting spots, this is a line that's developed some cohesion. Left tackle, you got a redshirt freshman, Adam Bisnawati. He's a local kid, but he was one of the top scout players last year, and a kid that they just raved about during the season last year, into the spring, and actually a guy I think you guys will like because he picked Pitt over Florida. So he should be popular with the Seminole Nation right away. At left guard is actually last year's left tackle. This is an interesting thing that Paul Chris did, and I was intrigued with it to begin with, but now I see why he did it. He took last year's starting left tackle, Corey King, moved him inside to left guard, and he took last year's starting right tackle, Matt Rotherham, moved him to right guard. So right away you've got, as I like to look at it, two big pillars inside, and then you fill in the rest of your offensive line there. At least as long as you've got those guys, they have kind of a sixth sense of what the respective tackle position does. So King's going to be breaking in, Bisnawati in that left side, who have a good feel, remembering his responsibilities from last year. He can help him along. And the same thing with Rotherham on the right side. They took a guy, TJ Clemmings, who was a former defensive end. He was a 5-star prospect in the class of 2010. And they just decided to try him out at right tackle in the bowl game preparations. TJ ended up liking the position. He has to be moved there. He was voted the most improved player in the spring. He's picked up where he left off in the spring. He's done very well. Now he's got to start a game and play there. That's what we've got to see right now. And then the center spot is still actually up for grabs. They've got Gabe Roberts, a guy that was one of the first recruits they brought in here from Wisconsin. He was a kid that was going to be a preferred walk-on at Wisconsin or come to Pitt as a scholarship player. And that was the guy they were able – and here he has a chance to start as a redshirt freshman. Never played center before. It'll either be him or it'll be Artie Rawl. And Artie Rawl's a redshirt sophomore that's kind of waited his turn. They've moved him around and – a guy that's endured all the coaching change. He is the only guy, or actually the last guy on the Pitt roster, to have verbally committed to Dave Wanstead, if you can believe that. So he was a guy that was committed in 2010, stuck through all the nonsense with the coaching changes, and here he is. And both Roberts and Rawl, terrific kid. Like, if I was making the choice, I don't know which one I would choose, because they're terrific kids and very hard workers and what they want. So basically, the offensive line, Chris, in my opinion, has addressed that they still have to play some games and get these guys used to it, but I like the direction that it's going.
Yeah, and it does make sense to move some of the more experienced, a little bit, you know, maybe bigger guys as well inside, especially given the scheme that he runs, where you really need those inside three to be a rock. You can't allow penetration,
right,
in Pitt's running scheme. So, you know, it makes sense to move those guys inside, and it sounds like they got a little more athletic, actually, at both tackles, which, you know, is important.
Absolutely, they did. And it's funny you say that, because those two, in my opinion, are the best athletes they have on the offensive line. TJ Clemmings, I'm really excited to see what he can do. This is a high-profile type of kid when he came here, and I think if he has a good year, he has a really good chance to maybe, you know, set his mark for the next level. But we got to see what he does in a game. You know, he's looked good in spring and training camp. We got to see what he does in a game now.
Well, it's going to be very much the same way for Florida State's defensive ends, who, you know, they lost, you know, a lot of people are saying three, but really two defensive end. They're two starting defensive ends from last year in Tank Carradine and Bjorn Werner. They lost Jenkins, actually, you know, in game one. So he really wasn't there for last year. But that still means, I mean, in terms of their depth at Florida State, you've got Mario Edwards, who sort of played at the end of last year and came on pretty well. But after him, there's a lot of questions on the Florida State side in terms of defensive end. So it's going to be green on green on the outside there. And then, you know, some experience and talent on the inside. So it's going to be a lot to watch, I think, in terms of the line matchups and you know, given the size that at running back that Pitt's going to have with especially with Connor in the game when he's there, should be really interesting in the running game to sort of see how the lines match up initially early in the game. Cause I mean, both sides are, you know, both teams are very big. You know, defensive line and offensive line. It's going to be an interesting game to watch in the trenches. I think for people who like that side of football, this is going to be a good one to watch.
Yeah, I'm really I think they're going to get a good test up front. I know you're saying they may not have as many experienced players, but I don't know that these guys have seen. Well, they have. They saw Ole Miss with that type of speed. I'm really interested to see how they deal with Florida State's speed, because I think, regardless of experience, that's going to be one of the faster teams that they're going to see this year.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that we're going to see also, the difference between, say, Florida State and Ole Miss is Florida State, at least compared to last year's Ole Miss, is significantly bigger up front. And, you know, they've got some speed up front, but they've got some really, really big guys. A few years ago, that wasn't true. 2009 Florida State, I remember being on the field and looking at them going, wow, Florida State is small. That's not true anymore. They are a big, big football team, on the hoof. They're big guys. So it'll be interesting on both sides in terms of that. And given the athleticism of the Pitt tackles, this will be a trial by fire right away for Florida State's ends, who a lot of people have some suspicion, you know, have some questions about whether they can actually, you know, produce the pass rush that Florida State fans are traditionally used to. So should be a, you know, very interesting trial by fire for both teams. So shifting gears to the defensive side of the ball, which I think for Pitt, there's a whole lot fewer questions on that side. You know, in my view, I think this is maybe the second best defense in the ACC. It could be, say, third or so, but it's definitely up there, and it does start up front for you guys.
Yeah, and that's a thing that I think is going to benefit this team as they figure things out on offense. They've got essentially nine starters back, and it starts up front. Aaron Donald, this team will go as far as Aaron Donald allows him to go to. You know, you look at him, he's only six foot, I think, 290, 285, 290, but a very explosive player up the middle. I mean, the fact that he even considered or was even in the conversation of a player who could have declared early for the NFL draft as a 6 foot defensive tackle, I think speaks what he can do. Not just him though. I mean, the first half of the season, he was pretty quiet. Second half, as Tyrone Ezell, who's a fellow senior on the inside there with him, as Ezell got caught up and created a distraction and drew some double teams himself, that helped Donald become more productive. So really that front four, those two, they've got a couple of, a new starter at defensive end, and David Durham, who transferred in from Ohio State last year, and Brian Murphy returns as a starter at the other end. Another guy we'll see in the mix, you might see in the starting lineup, is Juan Price. And he started, I think, five games as a freshman as an outside linebacker. He moves up to the defensive end spot, and could be a matchup thing, you know, depending on what the Pitt coaching staff feels Florida State's linemen. So it could be a good test with him lining up defensive end for the Florida State's offensive line. Linebacker, there's still a question. Shane Gordon starts at the middle, and Anthony Gonzalez, a converted quarterback, is going to be starting at outside linebacker. And he actually made that move late in the season last year and has pretty much run with it since then. The other outside linebacker spot should go to Todd Thomas, a junior, but as you may have heard down there, I don't know how much the story reached there, but after the first day of training camp, Todd Thomas left the team and was gone for a week. He came back. They were able to work things out. But here's basically what this boils down to is Thomas has been a productive player since he's been here. Great character kid, great work ethic. They started him off with the second team for a number of reasons. One, they wanted to basically make a statement saying, look, you've been productive. You've been here for a while. You're a junior. We need you to know your defensive responsibilities, the defensive playbook better than anybody else. And, since he came back, he's responded. He still is going to have to work his way back in there. But for now, it's going to be a redshirt freshman, Bam Bradley, starting at linebacker. But I am interested to see if Florida State is able to maybe, I don't know if they would go after Bradley or go after an inexperienced kid like that from a matchup standpoint. And, if they're able to capitalize on that, would Pitt go back to Thomas? Will we see him back? So that's one thing I'm kind of looking for there, because I'm interested to see how many receiver sets that Florida State brings out. I think there's right there is where Pitt could get in a matchup problem with Florida State.
Yeah, and that's actually, again, it's sort of interesting looking at the matchups here that, Florida State has had a lot of injuries, actually, and some defections, either legal in Greg Dent's case or academics with Willie Halstead. They've had some issues in terms of both tight end and the receiver positions, where some guys that they really thought would be there and help provide depth and give them the flexibility to be a little bit more multiple with that. They've had to kind of make sure that a few of the younger guys are ready there. So again, that's going to be interesting. I think in terms of the numbers to be able to throw multiple receiver sets and things like that out there, they're going to be able to do that still. But again, it's not necessarily all the guys that they thought they'd have. In particular, Dent, who is probably the most impressive receiver in the spring for Florida State, having been lost to some legal trouble over the summer. So again, that's going to be a place where, it'll be interesting to see sort of how Jimbo Fisher decides to scheme with that, especially with a young quarterback. Given the strength that Pitt has up front, Florida State has the best offensive line they've had in over a decade, I think, probably since 2003 or so, maybe 2002. But going against Pitt's front, you don't necessarily expect a lot of yards per carry. So it's going to be interesting to see whether or not they're forced to throw the football when they don't necessarily want to, and how they go about that. My guess is that they're going to come out in more of a three wide, one tight look most of the time initially, and actually throw a little bit more on first down as a result of having that young quarterback, because it's a little easier to throw on those neutral downs, kind of keeps them safe. So see some initial play action there. And that's going to be interesting with, like you said, with those matchups with those young linebackers and maybe forcing Pitt into, more nickel type situations and things like that. And I'm not sure how good this is. I guess this gives us a segue to talk a little bit about Pitt's secondary. Obviously you're starting four, you've got some good experience. There's guys that have sort of proven that they can play. How good's that fifth guy?
Yeah, that's going to be – see, there's a couple battles going on for that. We know Kaywan Williams and Lafayette Pitts will be the starting cornerbacks. We know Jason Hendricks will be one of the starting safeties. They're still trying to figure out who's going to be that next safety. And I have to say next safety and this safety, they don't like to refer to them as free safety and strong safety. Jason Hendricks, I expect to have another big year. He had 6 picks last year, and I was impressed that with all the – defensive back talent in the ACC, he was the guy chosen preseason all ACC to represent Pitt. So I think that says a lot from what a lot of people think of him, being that Pitt hasn't played an ACC game yet. But the other safety spot will be battled between Ray Venipal and Colin Christian. Colin's a Michigan transfer. He played, he actually started a couple games at corner, and he has been a corner to this point in his career, was moved to safety to challenge for that job. Venipal started the opener last year. And this is another situation, as you saw the schedule, Pitt lost its opener to Youngstown State, and Youngstown State went right after Venipal, which is kind of interesting because that's where he's from. I don't know if that had anything to do with it, or Youngstown coaches were familiar with him and found a weakness in his game or something like that. It's a guy that knows the defense probably better than any other defensive player, but he got exploited a little bit, and then he lost his starting job. So we're looking to see there. They're also putting a lot of emphasis on this third corner spot, and that's, you would think a guy like Christian could be moved there. It's still a possibility because of his experience there. They are they're looking at one of the redshirt freshmen, Trenton Coles. He's a speed guy. Interesting matchup type player. He's a 6'3 guy, 6'3, 175 as a corner, and they intend on keeping him there because of his speed. So he's going to kind of be that nickel and dime back cornerback, that extra defensive back that comes out, either him or Jamal Pardner, who is much different in size, 5'10", 175. Jamal was actually that guy last year as a true freshman. He tore his ACL in practice about 3 weeks into the season. So he was off to a good start, and he says he's healthy. I don't know if the coaches – I think it seems the coaches are a little too worried about his injury at this point. But there's a couple other guys to look for in that secondary. But I will tell you, I wouldn't rule out, being that they're looking at maybe starting a redshirt freshman at outside linebacker, if they wouldn't roll one of those corners such as Kaywan Williams as an outside linebacker and start Coles for some of these packages. I wouldn't be surprised to see that for the opening series for Pitt.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. And actually, it makes a lot of sense that Pitt's really emphasizing that third corner position at this point, especially going into the ACC. That's one difference. You know, the ACC does tend to have a little bit more, a little bit more of an emphasis on more teams that are spreading the field a little bit now than what the Big East did last year. There are a few teams last year's Big East that did it, but not, I think, to the degree that's going on in the ACC. It's to the point where really Florida State at this point, they're running a nickel base. I mean, that's their base defense, and they're in dime about as much as they're usually in that in a true 4-3 or a 3-4 set. Which, you know, again, that's just the direction that the game's going right now. And again, one of the more interesting things about Pitt is that, again, they're going to force more of those traditional sets. I mean, Crist is going to have, you know, more traditional sets. You know, I know at Wisconsin he loved that two tight end look.
You'll see that a lot. I didn't even talk about the tight ends. Yeah, you'll see that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm assuming he's. We can talk about that briefly.
Yeah.
We still got just a little time. In terms of what he did at Wisconsin, he really liked to, you know, even teams out with that 2x2 look with two tight ends, and one back, and be able to basically pick his side on the strength and run, you know, that little zone play to a bigger back and try to bludgeon the defense a little bit. And then you've got four guys who can release into the pass pattern on play action. So I'm assuming that's, we're going to see a little bit of that, but you've got to have guys at tight end to be able to do it. So,
yeah. And you're going to see, you know, we talked about Devin Street, but he's got the three guys to look for at tight end are Manasseh Garner. He's a guy, interestingly, from Pittsburgh, started off at Wisconsin, transferred back home after 2 years. He was recruited by this whole offensive staff. And, you know, he's a bigger player. He's about 6'5". They have him listed at 6'5", 235. I'm willing to say he's probably about 2'4". If he's 235, then James Conner's probably about 210. So he's probably about 240, 250. Big player, but a guy that's got some speed. So you'll see him lined up at tight end in the slot, out wide as a split end. Just like you were saying with the 2x2 formations, they've got some bodies and they've got a lot of hybrid players.
So sort of a Shanahan role, then, it sounds like, a little bit what they did with Mike Shanahan last year.
Right, but even a bigger player than Mike Shanahan. The one thing they didn't do with Shanahan, I think they could have, is Garner's primarily a tight end, so he'll line up on the line, but he's fast enough that they can, if they see there's a shorter cornerback out there, you know, they'll match him up against him. J.P. Holtz is your traditional tight end. You'll see him up at the line, possibly in the backfield. Mark Jubilato is a guy. He's a fullback. Also another guy that they'll split out wide. Now, if you see him split out wide, you know they're not throwing to him. But again, it goes into that whole 2x2 look that you're talking about. Jamar Parrish, another fullback you'll see. All of this, they put an emphasis on the tight ends. But as I talked about Devin Street before, they kind of make you forget about those deep threats. And I think this is how – I haven't seen it, but just going back to what he did at Wisconsin, this is how they set up that deep ball to a guy like Street. And then the other receivers you'll see will be Tyler Boyd, a true freshman. He's a speedy guy. They'll put him in the slot. They'll split him out wide. And the same thing, Kevin Weatherspoon's the next guy you'll see. So all those different options in different combinations to either – create matchup problems in the case of a Manasseh Garner, or go deep to somebody like Devin Street. So I'm real interested to see what he does with all these bodies.
Yeah, I mean, and again, this reflects on sort of what my impression of Pitt has been coming in, is that the cupboard is not really bare there. I mean, there's bodies to really compete in this conference. The question has really been continuity and having, you know, some sense of what's going on. And, you know, you wonder whether they're going to take that step forward this year, maybe next year. It's going to be a really interesting season, I think, from your guys' perspective. And I'm very interested in seeing it as a college football fan in general. And of course, Florida State fans are interested in it as opponents. But you know, it's going to be interesting for you guys moving forward. So now that we're approaching the end of the segment, can you take us through a couple things that you look at as real keys to the game from the Pitt side and how you see this game moving forward?
I think the interesting thing is, as we talked about it, offensive and defensive line on both sides of the ball, green on green, like you said, Pitt's offensive line, Florida State's defensive line, they kind of cancel each other out. And then where they're particularly strong, Pitt's defensive line versus Florida State's offensive line, because those are strengths, those cancel out. So I really am looking for those areas to be the impact of the game, but it's going to come down to quarterback play. You've got a first-year starter, you know, James Winston for Florida State and Tom Savage. You know, how nervous are they going to be? How do they produce in their first start? And then in the running game, you know, Pitt's got some questions there, but I know that, you know, Florida State, you know, they're pretty well set there. So that's something where Florida State may be the edge. It's going to be one of these other areas, whoever makes the fewest mistakes, especially at that quarterback spot, and particularly in the secondary. You get some incredible athletes for both teams. I'm excited to see LaMarcus Joyner match up against Devin Street. I mean, I think it's good not only for both programs, but good for the ACC to have that type of matchup going on. So I think, like I said, those other matchups, they kind of cancel each other out. It's going to be one of these other X factors that will make the difference in this game.
Yeah, I think given the way that things have gone before for Florida State, both games last year in some cases, in many ways, came down to some poor decisions or some bad situational play from a fifth-year senior at quarterback who actually went in the first round. He was a very, very good player for Florida State for, you know, the whole time he was there. But sort of given coming in with a redshirt freshman, about the last thing that Florida State fans are, you know, will want to hear is, well, this is going to come down to the quarterback. But I do think in a lot of ways that's right, because you're looking at the line. Both lines are really strong. And again, Pitt, in particular, on that defensive line, I'm not sure there's a better defensive line in the ACC outside of maybe Florida State. But again, that's a green one. So, you know, this is going to be, I think it's going to be an interesting game. I'm really looking forward to watching that Labor Day night. That's for sure.
Yeah, and you know, and the one thing that I'm interested to see is that, you know, a lot of people, they're trying to, you know, pack Heinz Field and sell this thing out, but. And maybe you want to chime in on this as well, but Florida State to me seems they've been down this road before. They know every time that they go somewhere, even if it's to open, you know, on national TV Monday night in an NFL stadium, it seems that these kids are used to that type of pressure. They're used to, you know, having to go into hostile crowds, and they seem to carry that, and they seem to respond to that pretty well. Is this a team that could do that again?
I think this year's team is. I think last year was sort of getting over the hump in that sense. One of the things that a lot of people don't think about, a lot of Florida State fans don't think about, is this group of players on the Florida State team. Those freshmen were, you know, 4 or 5 years old when Florida State last played in a national title game. So Florida State fans, of course, are thinking of, you know, Florida State, this is a tradition, you know, we should be great. But these kids, a lot of these kids, they went to Florida State and they kind of know the past, but they'd never seen it. And so, you know, and that, of course, makes the rest of us feel a lot older.
Yeah. But we get the same thing here because, you know, we try to portray Tony Dorsett and Dan Marino. And now, you know, I mean,
they don't even remember Dan Marino in the pros.
40, yeah. Guys were 30 or 40 years ago playing here. So I can understand that.
Yeah. So, and, you know, our fan base is not accustomed to that kind of thinking. And what really, I think, happened last year is this team, Florida State, in the minds of opponents for years, they're still Florida State. You still want to beat Florida State. They're still carrying that bullseye. But the players on the team themselves, Mark Stoops used the term this summer. He said that up until last year, the players on that roster had been scarred by prior, you know, losses and lack of success at Florida State, and they really did not think of themselves as Florida State, really, in the way that, you know, you would expect. And Stoops had said actually in this summer in a little interview this summer that he felt last year they kind of finally got over that hump. And this is something Jimbo Fisher, head coach Jimbo Fisher, has talked about a lot over the course of this last year, is learning how to be champions was the next step in the progression to win an ACC championship, to actually win a championship that meant something, to win a BCS game, even if it is against Northern Illinois, to actually have success, to say, you know what, we actually accomplished goals. That's something that I think does move forward into this year where, you know, they're used to playing in front of major crowds at Clemson and at Florida and at Florida State and, you know, these sorts of environments. But it's a little bit different when you go in and you expect to win. And I think this roster, this particular team, even if they do have a redshirt freshman at quarterback, I think that that's probably the biggest difference going back the last few years, is that they actually – this is the first group that's actually in quite a while that's actually seen Florida State win anything appreciable. And they actually now believe that they should do that all. And they now believe not only that they can, but they will. And I do think that comes into play in this kind of environment where they're going to come in and they're going to expect to have the bullseye like they have. But now they know what it is to actually win with that bullseye on and what it takes to do that. And that's actually where I think the loss at NC State last year, that also was another step in that sort of growth progression to say, well, this is what it doesn't look like when we have that bullseye. When we have success, this is how you have to manage it. So it's, again, that's another place where this is a really interesting year for Florida State, because they've made that, I think in that sense, they've kind of gotten over that hump. And now the question is whether or not they're going to stay on that side. And this first game is, I think, a good example of exactly how that works out.
So, yes, it seems like a lot of things for both teams to prove.
Oh, yeah, no question. Well, our guest today has been PantherDigest.com publisher, Tony Greco. Tony, thanks so much for a wealth of knowledge, actually, about the Pitt program that you've helped provide us for. And best of luck on your first year in the ACC. Hope you guys enjoy your new home.
Yeah, likewise, and welcome to Pittsburgh. Looking forward to having a lot of Seminole fans in Pittsburgh. I've been to a couple games, and it's always a fun group to watch, you know, how they follow the team.
Yep, thanks
all right,
a
take
lot.
Care.
Yep.
That was PantherDigest.com publisher Tony Greco filling us in with a wealth of knowledge about the Pitt program, and special thanks, much thanks to Tony for coming on and sharing so thoroughly with us. And again, Tony's feedback only confirms, you know, more or less what my feeling is going into this game, and that's that in terms of what Pitt has up front, they're going to match up better with Florida State than just about everybody else Florida State will play outside of Florida. And this that's going to make this game interesting just in itself. All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Unconquered Podcast. Special thanks again to PantherDigest.com publisher Tony Greco for filling us in on a wealth of knowledge about the Pitt football program coming into this Labor Day matchup. For myself and the rest of the Noel Digest staff, Jeff Vogt, this has been the Unconquered Podcast. I made this.